Happy Tuesday. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The Fire Mike Smith, he's out of here edition, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes. Lee DeCamper, the other Joe, is on assignment, still coming back from Atlanta and some other stuff. He will be back on Thursday's podcast. And Ira, it is great to see you. You are looking sharp, getting ready to shoot your Identity Tampa Bay show with Mr. Derek Brooks, Tampa 2. Big news yesterday. How are you?
I'm somber. I'm somber because an hour after Mike Smith was dismissed, we had to bring our wonderful Boston Terrier in, Dante. He's now in eternal sleep. It was a very rough day, rough night. But here I am, Tuesday morning, Steve. Bright and blue-eyed, ready to opine about Mr. Smith. And as you're about to tell our listeners, we got a special schedule this week because we had Buck News.
That's right, Iron. Of course, we all feel for you with Dante. It's a horrible thing to have to put a dog down. I know he was your first dog, and he became a beloved character on the podcast. And however you want to honor him here, we're always ready for that or on social media. I feel for you for sure. I know most of our listeners are pet owners. Most people are, and I know they feel the same way. But Sage, I got to let the folks know your dedication, right? Your extreme dedication to greatness. We recorded today's podcast yesterday, and we wrapped it up.
A full 45 minutes.
Full 45 minutes, all kinds of juice, and we wrapped it up. Next thing you know, we get to the car at our recording spot here at the park. No Hooters today. And there it is on the phone. Mike Smith launched.
It was like that scene out of Goodfellas when De Niro goes in the phone booth and he talks to Vinny, and Vinny says he's gone, and there was nothing we could do about it. And De Niro starts banging the receiver against the phone. Then all of a sudden Ray Liotta comes out. What's the matter? They whacked him. They both start crying. Now, that doesn't mean the tears are going to flow for you and I, but we don't like to see anybody lose their job, Steve.
And just to finish your dedication, Ira, right? So I call you last night. I said, Sage, you know, what do you want to do with the podcast? I figure out, oh, you called me.
I thought it was my idea, Isbitz. Take it easy.
You called me. You're like, what are we going to do? I said, well, I'll cut it up. I'll carve out this chatter about Mike Smith. We're good. Don't worry about it. Thursday, we'll talk about firing
and
Smith.
And I said, absolutely not.
Not good enough, says the Sage. Not good enough. I'll meet you at the park. We'll get this thing done. We got to take care of the people. Appreciate your
dedication. I could have had a bigger breakfast this morning. Instead, I rushed through a waffle because of you.
Raisins on the waffle?
And I'm very curious to see what Brooks has to say. You know, Mark Duffner coaches the linebackers, Brooks into the linebackers. So, we'll see what, you know, when I asked Brooks the last couple of weeks, Steve, about Mike Smith, he said it's on the players, execution. Well, something had to change.
Well, we got execution, all right. Now, Ira, I have to ask you the money question. Smith out, Duffner in. Who ordered the hit? Do you believe Dirk Cutter watched the game, flew back, and said, I got to get rid of Mike. He sucks.
The evidence we have, Steve, is that at the very least, it was a collaborative decision, and I think it goes beyond that. Because Cutter's answer a few weeks ago, entering the bye week when he was asked about changing defensive coordinators, was, well, what do you do then? What do you do then? What do you do after Mike Smith's gone? Basically, there's no viable alternatives. Well, nothing's changed in that regard. They don't have anybody else to turn to that they didn't have 2 weeks ago. So, look, I've been challenging the Glazers. You've been challenging the Glazers now for a couple of weeks. Don't sit idly by and watch this outstanding offense go to waste. Go do something. In my column Monday, I said go empower, you know, Cutter and Monken to play to call aggressive offensive football. And don't punt unless you have to. But along those lines, it's also, you know, hey, we got to do something. We need a new voice. And I think Cutter realized he didn't have any choice in the matter.
Did it surprise you that he didn't keep Mike Smith on the staff and say, hey, you know what? We're going with a change in voice at play calling. It's going to be Duffner. Smith's going to help us behind the scenes.
No, I think that's a very smart decision. And I'm not sure Mike Smith would have been on board with that. Mike Smith's attitude was, hey, if I'm moving on, I'm moving on. I'm off the team. Still going to get paid, Steve. And that would be awkward for Duffner, too. This is the right move. Clean break. Like taking a bandage off, Steve. 1, 2, 3, out. Ouch. It hurts, but you move on.
Now, you said collaborative decision, Ira. Who ordered the damn hit?
Well, you would think it came from the top. You would think it came from the top because, you know, the Glazers were in Chicago and the Glazers were in Atlanta. And when they went to Atlanta, they expected to see a big change on the defensive performance. And what did they see? Three straight touchdown drives, long ones, to open the game. And it wasn't like Atlanta got the ball on the Bucks 19 off a turnover. No. 75 yards, 70 yards, 52 yards. Helpless, guys running wide open. It didn't look much different than the Chicago game, at least in the first half. And that's probably when they made the decision. Right there and then in the first half, they turn to each other and say, we got to make a change.
Now, Dirk Koetter, of course, yesterday at his news conference said it was his decision. And just because the Glazers said we want him out doesn't mean it wasn't Koetter's decision, too. Maybe they came to him and said, Dirk, Mike Smith's not going to be our coordinator in 2019. We're not going to pay him in 2019. And
what do you want to do?
You're better off moving on now, see what you got here, and we can assess from there. We still believe in you and this team, but not in Mike Smith. Your call. And that might have led Dirk to say, hey, well, you're out. Mike, they're not bringing you back next year, and you're out.
I don't think the players at this point, Steve, I think they had lost faith in the scheme. And the way they were being coached. Duffner brings a different voice, an experienced voice. Like Mike Smith, he's not a rah-rah guy, a la Brenson Buckner. And we'll talk about the latest rumors about Buckner. But Duffner's been waiting a long time for another chance. He had it in the early 2000s, I believe, in Cincinnati. Steve, it didn't work particularly well, but he's got a whole bunch of different players and there's some talent on that defense that you and I don't think are being utilized to the max.
Ira, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of all your work. And Ira, you know what? Brian Danahy, general manager of Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, has some big news. The brand new 2019 XT4 crossovers are in and ready for immediate delivery at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Take one home during the Big Win sales event. For just $459 a month. Lease, yes. New XT4 is only $459. Got to go to their website and check it out. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com or rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa just west of 275 on Fletcher. You can see the dealer for all the details. And Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon, Ira, you were just there.
I was just there and I saw some of those models. They're fantastic. Absolutely.
Yeah, they
fantastic.
Really, really are. You were there Friday with John Cooper hanging out with the Lightning.
Cooper
head coach.
Pulled up in his Escalade. You know, Mr. and Mrs. John Cooper. And, boy, some of those cars in the showroom, Steve. If I was getting paid a little bit more from Joe Buck's fan, I think I would have went into the finance office right then and there. Get the hint over there, baby.
Escalade, please, for Mr. Kaufman on line two.
Doesn't have to be a 2019. 2011 sounds fine.
Sage, of course, Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon. So easy to get to right there on Causeway Boulevard. Just east of 75. Those are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. More than 70 years of Ed Morris quality and service across the state. And Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, of course, their website, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. You can see some of their offers as well right on JoeBucksFan.com. We appreciate their support. Now, Ira, Duffner comes in, and I have to disagree with you a little bit, right? It's a tradition on the podcast. He's definitely a rah-rah kind of high-energy guy. I wrote this morning on Joe Bucks Fan that, as you remember, of course, Duffner sat with us for your podcast back in May.
He loved it. He absolutely loved doing the podcast.
Yeah, and I've talked to him since, and that's one of the reasons I reran the podcast excerpt after the Chicago Bears game because he had talked about dissecting the defense in the offseason, what Mike Smith was doing, and I thought there was some good insight to share.
He calls me Sage. He calls me. I don't see Dirk Koetter calling me Sage.
And he's older than you. And he's older than you.
Is he?
He is.
I didn't think anybody was.
I hate to let that slip. Now people know you're not as old as we say, but he is a hair older than you are. And bottom line is, you asked Duffner. It was a great moment in the podcast. You said, "So coaching a guy like Quan Alexander, fiery guy, coming so dedicated." You feel you got to bring your energy up for this guy. And he looked at you and he said, no. Quan has to match my energy.
Great answer.
And Duffner is known for that rah-rah kind of spirit.
I guess I was talking about his off-field demeanor. He's kind of low-key off-field. No
sure.
question.
And, yeah, he's very a religious, humble guy. But when it comes to football, he's very intense. And JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, was on Buccaneers Radio Network last night, Ira. They asked him about, he took a lot of Mike Smith kind of questions, but they asked him about Duffner. And he said, well, you know what? Since I got here in training camp, and it was funny because it sort of was a reminder that he missed all of OTAs. He's like, this guy's energy is there every single day. It's better than mine, which is hard to do. And he talked about how Duffner has come to talk to him personally and how he really appreciates that.
That's outstanding. What an endorsement from the only guy up front that's playing worth a darn, really, if you look at it, that's making an impact. And he's not even talking about his own position coach.
Right.
He's not taking a pot shot at Buckner. But the fact that he's weighing in on Duffner so positively, I think that speaks well.
Yeah, it was interesting. He noted that Mike Smith came to talk to him as well, and appreciate him and all that stuff. But Duffner's energy never, ever wavers. And we know what this defense needs. It needs to be more aggressive. I mean, I hate to say it, Ira. We talked about this all offseason. If they could just get to be the 22nd-ranked defense in the league, with this offense, the sky is the limit.
Steve, some Buck fans are pointing out, hey, Alexander and Lavonne David and Taylor aren't shaking up the world either at linebacker, and that's the position that Duffner coaches. I will say this, Steve, without hesitation. You will see Alexander and David in different roles. Duffner has certain ideas about how to maximize the skills of those guys. He was working within the framework of Mike Smith. He can't throw his weight around. He can make suggestions to Mike Smith. Hey, Quan on a blitz in this gap has been effective or whatever. We know Lavonne David can be effective blitzer. We've seen it, Steve. But it's so long in our memory, it's easy to forget. I mean, we're talking about 5-6 years ago under Greg Schiano, of all people, and Bill Sheridan. The guy had 5-7 sacks. He looked very effective. He was making all kinds of tackles for losses. He was in the backfield all the time. I think the biggest difference you're going to see is in the utilization of the linebackers, because Duffner has had a lot of ideas. I wouldn't say they've been squelched, but he hasn't been able to utilize them. And now I think he's going to feel free to do what has to be done, because, look, he's been embarrassed along with all the defensive coaches about these performances. He knows something big has to change. It has to start Sunday against Cleveland.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a very aggressive posture. They got to shake things up, start to maybe trust these defensive backs to get on some islands. And, and that's not what they wanted going into this season. The idea was to rebuild from this defensive line. But I like that Duffner, A, has so much experience, but that his time as a defensive coordinator was under Dick LeBeau in Cincinnati. And I know people are saying, oh, well, it didn't go that well for him. But different era of football, different game. And LeBeau, they were running his style of defense, which, gosh, he never met a blitz he didn't like. And Duffner's seen all kinds of blitzes, as did Mike Smith working under Rex Ryan. But I think Duffner knows that he's not here to do the status quo.
That's right.
I think we're going to see a very aggressive let it rip kind of thing here. And
you're facing a rookie quarterback, Steve.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you got to do? You got to make
that guy
uncomfortable.
Yeah. And, and it could be exciting here. And I think he'll take the input from the players. I don't know how good that necessarily will be, but usually teams get a bump and then they fall back to what they were when they get a new coordinator. But Jason LaCanfora reported of CBS, their insider, formerly NFL Network, he reported that a lot of players wanted Buckner to be the guy. And I don't know how LaCanfora could know that. Lee DeCamper, Joe Bucks fan, suggested that maybe Cutter talked to players after they launched Smith and got a little feedback and said, hey, go with Duff. Or go with the Buckner. I don't know. I don't really buy the story, though.
Well, look, those national guys are wrong almost as often as they're right. Most of them. You got a guy like Jay Glazer who picks his spots. And doesn't throw 40 things out there a week, he's almost never wrong. Schefter, almost never wrong. But some of these other guys, they don't have a good track record, Steve. If Buckner had been here 2 or 3 years, I think he would have been a very strong candidate to get this job. But two things. One, he's a newcomer. you know, how much has Buckner interacted with Levante David? How much has Buckner interacted with Brent Grimes? Probably not very much. And two, Steve, to be perfectly blunt, which we are on this podcast, Buckner's guys aren't doing much. They're not doing much. I mean, he's got Jason Pierre-Paul, who was a finished product by the time Buckner got his mitts on him. But I don't see Golston, Vinny Curry, Bo Allen, Vita Vea. I don't see them making significant plays in other people's backfields. So I think if the Buck pass rush had been strong and the rest of the defense was terrible, Cutter would have looked strong at Buckner. But I think Duffner's the right choice at this time. Doesn't mean Buckner doesn't have a future as a defensive coordinator. But he just got here, Steve.
Yeah,
it works against him.
It does work against him. Also, he has no experience calling plays like that at the pro level, which we saw here firsthand, the whole Jeff Jagodzinski experience. The guy couldn't call plays. And he's
never been a head coach,
Yeah, you can't just assume that he can seamlessly roll into that job. When he did leave the Cardinals, there were ex-players there screaming on social media, oh, we miss you, Coach Buck, defensive coordinator one day. Guys who didn't even play under him, guys at different positions. However, like you said, he hasn't had a ton of time to interact. And I think probably the biggest thing working against Buckner, Ira, is Vita Vea is on this roster. They hired Buckner in part to develop this guy. This is a first-round pick. You can't just all of a sudden have your D-line coach disappear. Who's going to be coaching this guy up? So that's part of it, I think, at least a little bit. But, they'll all collaborate and get in on the game planning. Do you think Cutter brings in another set of eyeballs, even if it's out of his own pocket, for 10 weeks? 10 weeks, can he pay somebody? Hey, here's $100,000. Come help me out.
Has Chuck Pagano's agent been calling you, Isbitz? You know what? That's not a bad call, Pagano. And I happen to know for a fact that Cutter and Pagano are very tight. They're very, very close. And I'll tell you why I know that. Because when I was checking out of my hotel in Minneapolis the day of the Super Bowl, the day after the Super Bowl, Pagano was in my hotel. He was there, and he was also at the front desk, and I started talking to him, and we were lamenting the fact he was probably going to have to sit out the 2018 season, and he said, "Oh, I'll get back into it after a year off," and he asked me how Cutter's doing down in Tampa, and I said, "Well, yeah, he had a rough year, but he wants to turn things around." And he was telling me how far back he goes with Cutter. They talk all the time. And look, Cutter wants to read Joe Buck's fan once in a while and go into it with an open mind. I don't think the Glazers would put the kibosh on bringing in another pair of eyes. What's wrong with that? Duffner would have to be on board, I think, or it'd be nice if he was. You'd run it past him. But I think if Cutter thinks it's a good idea, I think it should happen. And the Glazers would endorse it.
Yeah, look, I don't know if his contract with the Colts had any, if he's still getting paid and he can't do hands-on coaching or risk his money, but these guys can always come in and consult.
It's a guy Cutter's comfortable with.
Yeah, and he coached, he was a secondary coach. He played safety in college. I mean, that's where the Bucs are lacking in the defensive backfield, but I don't care who it is. They got to know somebody. Duffner's coached 40-something years. Get somebody in here to help. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how this progresses. And
look, they broke down film till their eyes bled. They saw more film than Martin Scorsese, and he's one of the great film buffs of all time. And nothing changed. So get another set of eyes in there. Look at the schemes. Look at the personnel. And most importantly, Steve, I don't know how many times I can say this, fit the scheme to the personnel rather than vice versa.
Now, in many ways, Ira, based on before we sat down here on this podcast, Mike Smith very much got what I'm going to call the Jay Hayes treatment on social media. Jay Hayes, defensive line coach, the bizarre story of him getting re-signed and then fired for Buckner. None of his players went out on Twitter or social media and gave the guy a fond farewell, like, best of luck, coach, thanks for your service, we'll miss you.
You almost always see that.
You always usually see something. Mike Smith, I haven't seen anything. Not anything from any of these guys. Now, Levante David stood up and faced the music in the locker room. I was the only one that was widely quoted there that I believe talked. I wasn't there. But, he said that Smith was a great guy. This is a fabulous, fabulous line, Ira, and I really want your take on it. Smith, good coach. He gave, dedicated, whatever, love Coach Duffner's energy. Lavonnie David said Coach Smith, quote, never threw anybody under the bus. What is that supposed to mean, and is that a good thing?
Well, from a player perspective, you probably appreciate that about somebody. It's a good quality for a coach, Steve. Now, we don't know what went on in those meeting rooms. You would think that Smith was tough on these guys, and he should be. But I think that's a good quality. I think that's one of Cutter's strong points. He doesn't criticize players in public. I think he goes out of his way to say it's a collaborative effort. We're all in this, and you start with me. That's what head coaches say. But, Steve, I get your point. When that's your one, you know, money comment, instead of saying we let Mike Smith down, he's a damn good coach in this league, and he's going to go on and prove it again somewhere else, and we should all look ourselves in the mirror, and we didn't get that. So, Steve, there was a disconnect. I mean, how else can we say it? There was a disconnect between what Mike Smith was selling and what the players were buying. It goes, you know, I told you that story about Revis. It's worth repeating. That quote from Revis about 5 years ago. You know, Darrell, do you think the defensive players are buying what the coaches are selling? I don't know. I mean, what a classic that was. I think we reached that stage in Tampa.
Sage, quick answer here. Quick answer. If the players don't respond to Buckner, does ownership then immediately...
You mean Duffner. Duffner.
Sorry.
Yeah, Duffner.
If they don't respond to Duffner, does ownership immediately think, hey, it must be the players, Light, you're out of here? Is that the quick response? And I don't mean 1 week. I mean through the end of the season.
Well, it certainly wouldn't bode well for Light because, you know, then it would throw the spotlight back on the talent level. Although Duffner hasn't proven himself as a successful defensive coordinator, so the Glazers couldn't think, well, he did it in Cincinnati and he can't do it here. It's got to be the players. You know what it would mean? In essence, it would mean a 6-10 season and new people coming in, and Duffner won't be around anyway in 2019, and he'd understand that. Steve, I think an interesting question is, well, what becomes of Mike Smith going forward? His head coaching dreams, I think, are shattered. I think you'd agree. Would he ever be a defensive coordinator again? Unlikely. maybe Mike Smith would wipe his hands of the NFL and say, I'm done. He might do that.
I don't know, Ira, that we'll find out. But he's probably done. 60 years old, you're just coming off a failure. Nobody's rooting against Mike Smith.
Nobody should forget he was a successful head coach in Atlanta. Nobody should forget.
He had a fantastic run, and he built the foundation of really of what's there now.
He took over a mess in Atlanta, real mess.
Complete mess for the Mike Vick era, and they won instantly.
Bobby Petrino. Yeah, it was bad. It was
instantly bad. Won. He did a fantastic job there, a record-breaking job initially before it fell apart. All right, Ira. FanRetreat.com, that's your home to get all Bucks tickets, Rays tickets, Lightning tickets, any kind of entertainment tickets. FanRetreat.com, a local Florida company. And one of the best things about FanRetreat.com, you can book your hotels, your airline tickets right there on the website. Rent a car. It's a one-stop shop for having an incredible event. A fan retreat, if you will. FanRetreat.com, Bucks tickets. Instant downloads available. Shop around. Light on the fees at FanRetreat.com and use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Ira, your podcast, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. Subscribe there. Leave a review. Remember, two more episodes still to go this week. We're excited about that. And Sage, take us out of here, my friend.
In terms of FanRetreat.com, there's some very attractive Buck road trips coming up, and I do mean New York. And Dallas. So there's some very strong, and if you want to go on the banks of the Ohio, go to Cincinnati. So there's some very attractive road trips to take on Fan Retreat. Steve, the Mike Smith firing, some people think it's overdue. It had to happen. It had to happen. And I think Cutter's remark in one sense on Monday was correct. We had to give these people a chance to review and make changes after the bye week. When it didn't happen after the bye week, Steve, you got no faith it's going to change.
All right, Sage. We'll see you tomorrow.